This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes. Also, make sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube original channel, UCTV Prime, available only on YouTube at youtube.com/UCTV Prime. This UCTV podcast is sponsored in part by Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of digital audiobooks available, including many by guests you've heard here on UCTV. Audible.com is offering UCTV podcast listeners a free 30-day trial subscription and one free audiobook download. Just visit audibletrial.com/UCTV to sign up. That's audibletrial.com/UCTV. And thanks.
The UCLA women's soccer team is unbeaten in their first 11, 9 wins to their credit, as they have their eyes poised on another trip to the College Cup. And we are pleased to be joined by Sam Mewis, a sophomore on the team, a great contributor. Sam, thanks for joining us on Bruin Talk.
Thank you for having me.
It's got to feel great being off to such a good start.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the team is just playing really well, and the coaches have been supporting us a lot in practice, being really specific with what we have to do, and we have our eyes set on the Pac-12 championship, so we're really excited.
You just had a chance to go on your first extended road trip of the year. In fact, it was really extended, because you played a Monday night game on the Pac-12 network down at Arizona State. Tell us about the experience of going on the road with your team for the first time.
It was awesome. We had so much fun. We went bowling. We did like a couple other team bonding things. And I think the extended trip was really good for the team. We were forced to like spend all of our time together. We missed a couple classes, but I mean, it was okay and it was worth it. And we had a lot of fun.
We're talking about these road trips. How important are those for team? You mentioned you went bowling and you did this team bonding and you're missing classes. How do you ensure that you stay on track of your schoolwork? I know school just started, so it's not really an issue yet, but further down the road, it's got to be hard keeping up with schoolwork.
I think the road trips definitely make you stay on top of everything. If you're going to be missing class, you have to go talk to your professor. You have to do the extra reading if you miss lecture, especially. So it definitely helps us like stay on track with our schoolwork. And I mean, as for the team bonding, the trips are just great. We have 3 in a row, actually, so we're leaving again tomorrow, and I mean, I think we're all excited. It's just so much fun, like, spending all that time with the team.
Sam, you were the number one recruit in the whole country last year. You chose UCLA, coming from Hanson, Massachusetts. That's a long trip. What pushed Westwood over the top in your mind?
I think that UCLA just had the whole package. When I came to visit, I immediately fell in love with the campus and the coaches. The team was one of the only teams that every single person came up and introduced themselves as to a recruit. So I think I just try, I mean, we all try and do that still now to the recruits. And I think just like the sense of family on the team and the academics are awesome. UCLA is just a great school all around.
You hit the back of the net 6 times last year. You've got a goal this year. UCLA has really been punishing a lot of opponents. You've outscored the opposition 27-4. Let's talk a little bit about the chemistry you need on the pitch and how that gets developed on the road trip. So you have to get a sense of what everybody's going to be doing, where they're going to be. Is that something that's grown as you're in your second year here?
Yes, definitely. I think the chemistry in the attacking third of the field has definitely grown, but we still have a long way to go. There have been games we've won, not by a lot, not by many, and we should have. So I think it's something that will continue to grow all season. It's just a matter of working on kind of attacking patterns in practice and just making sure we're all like united as one team and we all have the same goals, and that will come with like the team chemistry and the team bonding and stuff.
In addition to UCLA, you've got international experience. You were on the United States under 20 team that won the World Cup in Japan. That must have been an incredible experience.
Yeah, it was the best experience. I'm about to tear up thinking about it. It was absolutely incredible. But I mean, I couldn't have done it without the support of my teammates here, and Sarah and I were traveling all spring. We missed a lot. So it was a lot of support from UCLA that helped get us there. And I mean, we're glad to be back, and it was just an awesome experience to get to be a part of.
How did it feel being involved in international soccer as opposed to club soccer now at the collegiate level?
It's definitely very different. I would say it's a higher level. It's more competitive. The playing against other countries is always different. The style of like an Asian team versus a European team is different than the style of a college team or a club team. So it's definitely a really cool experience, and I feel really lucky to have been a part of it.
Dave mentioned earlier that you're from the Boston area, and with the Pac-12 network, your team is getting a lot more exposure. Are your parents able to watch the games? I mean, it's a long trip for them to come out all the time, so they've got to be excited that they can watch you on TV.
They are very excited. They watch every game. They kind of have to go to my grandparents' house to watch because they don't get the network yet, but they're hoping to get it, and they love it. They think it's, like, really cool, and I think it's really good for the sport and for just the whole Pac-12.
Sam, your sister Christy plays at Boston College. That's a long way off. You play out of here at UCLA, but we mentioned you were the top recruit in the country. What kind of pressure did that put on you when you came out here for your freshman year last year?
I think it was more internal pressure. I put a lot of pressure on myself. I didn't feel any pressure from the coaches or from my teammates to be this, like, big superstar or anything. I think that a lot of the pressure just comes from within me, and the coaches have always been very supportive, and I didn't really feel pressure from any outside sources.
With your sister playing at Boston College, she's older than you. I'm sure the two of you grew up running around in the front yard playing soccer together. Do you look up to her as a role model? What have you learned from her that you include into your own soccer career now?
I look up to her so much. She is a great role model for me and for anyone else who plays soccer. She works so hard. She, like, will come back from working out and she'll go for a run an hour later, and that makes me want to do it too. So she's just such a good example, and her success has made me want to be more successful, and she's just, like, I'm so lucky to have her as my sister. I feel really fortunate that we both have been successful with soccer, and I hope we both can continue to do.
Who were some of your role models as you grew up watching the game of soccer?
My sister and I always grew up watching that, like, the classic United States women's soccer team, the 99 team. It was like Nia Hamm and Julie Foudy and Brandi Chastain. We grew up watching them. They were always our role models, posters of them on the wall, everything like that. So that was definitely, like, the group I think back to.
Last year, in the match against USC, you scored twice. You get the Women of Troy in the last game of the regular season this year. Did you have any sense of what the SC-UCLA rivalry was before you came out here?
No. I had no idea. I had heard about it, but it's different once you're out here, and you kind of adopt it, like, the moment you get here. So I definitely... I'm even more excited for this year's game. It's going to be really fun.
We're talking about USC. You finished with them again this year, and with your outstanding performance in the USC game last year, are you looking to repeat that? Do you feel any pressure, or are you just going to go out there and play?
I'll just go out there and play. I mean, it's more about the team, and as long as we can pull out a win and play the way we know how, the personal performance isn't really as important.
Give us a scouting report on Sam Mewis. What skills are you looking to enhance as you go through your college career?
I think one of the things I've always been most confident in is passing. I can complete a pass, like, long range to someone's feet if I have to. I think a couple things I could work on would be, like, winning 50-50 balls. I'm not really that consistent with it, and because I have good size, I really should be a little bit better. But I work hard, and I have a great team behind me, so I think that... if we just focus and stay together, that we'll be fine as a team.
We talked a lot about chemistry. Boy, when you said that, about completing the long ball to somebody's feet, I was thinking of Megan Rapinoe in the World Cup, I mean, who was just putting balls on people's feet all day long. In practice, you guys work on those late game situations where you really have to get it up there precisely on somebody's foot across the pitch?
Not as much like that. We work more on, like, things we'll have to do the whole game. So we work a lot on getting end line and crossing it back across the goal. We work a lot on possession, things like that. I think it's the end of the game situations. We're hoping not to be in too tight of a situation like that. So hopefully we can just get it done in the 90 minutes and we'll be fine.
Has the team talked about the College Cup? Have you verbalized the end of the season goal?
We all said at the beginning, we have a meeting where we discuss our standards, and we all said we're here because we want to win a national championship. We've made sacrifices for the season. We made these goals. That is everyone's goal, and we would love to get there, but we're just going to take it one game at a time.
I know you're only a sophomore here at UCLA, but I want to look forward a little bit. Do you have professional aspirations? Would you like to go on and play on a professional team internationally after you're done here at UCLA?
I would love to. Playing in Europe has always been one of my goals. That would be really cool. It would be even cooler if we got a league back here. We can only hope that they figure something out, but it's out of our hands. So I definitely would love to play soccer after college, and playing professional overseas would be really cool.
UCLA, coached by B.J. Snow, but before Jill Ellis was the head coach, and she won, well, she actually, they don't give the coaches medals, but the U.S. with the Olympic medal. Yeah. Had to be great seeing somebody affiliated with UCLA, and of course, Lauren Cheney on the pitch, Sidney LaRue, seeing Bruins go on to succeed at that level.
It was amazing, especially having been coached by Jill and having played with Sidney. It was so cool to see people I knew personally and had been on the field with before winning an Olympic gold medal. It made my dreams seem even closer, and I'm just so happy and proud of them, and it was just awesome to see.
We mentioned the Bruins undefeated, 9-0-2 at this point. Can this team get even better?
Definitely. We have a long way to go. BJ always says to us, don't start thinking that you guys aren't all good yet. Like, we definitely have a long way to go, and we have a lot to work on. We have some really tough competition coming up.
Well, Sam, best of luck. Great start for the Bruins, and we look forward to great things from you in the next couple of years.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more UCLA Bruin Talk after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Ryan Hollingshead of the men's soccer team as our Athlete of the Week. In a conference match against UC Berkeley, Ryan scored a crucial second-half goal to help UCLA win 3-1, the goal made for his third of the year. Hollingshead also had an assist in an impressive give-and-go with Reed Williams. The win maintained UCLA's undefeated conference record. They are now unbeaten in their last 14 road matches and have won 15 straight matches over Pac-12 opponents. Congratulations, Ryan, and good luck with the rest of your season. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
Our next guests always have road matches, roads, streams, paths, wherever you can run, they do it. It's an incredible sport of cross country where it takes great mental stamina and physical endurance. We're really pleased to be joined by senior David McDonald and junior Caitlin Schmidt, members of the cross country team. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you.
We talked about the mental aspects of the sport you participate in. What's tougher, the mental part or the physical part, Caitlin?
I think it varies from teammate to teammate, but right now, mentally, some things are being tough with us. We're trying to run as a group and get past the barrier of splitting up. So as a team, we try to get to the finish line. And so right now, mentally for us, because we all have the fitness there and our workouts show it, and it's just a mental step.
David, your season's just starting. You've got a long road ahead of you. Tell us what your workout was like during the summer and how you prepared for the start of the actual season.
Well, during the summer, we start off with what's called a base period of training, where we're putting in mostly just mileage, just long runs every day, usually two runs towards the middle of the summer. We run in about 8 miles in the morning, 4 miles in the afternoon, start to bump it up a little more, and then once it gets towards the end of the summer, we add in workouts. So we'll be doing tempos, which is a faster paced run. We're doing fartleks, which is a run and then a rest period, and it's kind of an elevated rest to keep you on your toes the whole time, so you're not just, you know, backing off. And then once we hit school, we came and started doing some real workouts, and now it's getting into a really tough phase where it's the real meat and potatoes of our season, because we chose to take on a shorter season this year that really accents the big meets and not so many small meets in between. So, you know, this week was the biggest week of training for us, and, you know, it's halfway through, and we're doing a lot of mile repeats and 4 mile tempos, and, you know, we had some 8 mile tempos, some long fartleks, and, you know, it's just it's a lot of mileage. Most guys are putting in anywhere between 80 and 110 miles a week, and a couple guys are down about 60 because they're either younger or hurt, but most people are up in the high 80s, and it's just a lot of intensive training, very time consuming, but it's also fun because we're together all the time.
You know, Allison, this is why I love cross country runners. They talk about 8 mile runs in the morning and four
like
in the afternoon
nothing.
As an easy day.
Right? And then he started talking about, we're in the harder workouts. You guys are incredible. But anyway, I want to talk about your preseason training. You're kind of telling us a little bit about the workouts that you're doing. It's no secret secret that the men's and women's teams go up to Mammoth before school starts to get in that altitude training. That's got to be rough. How important is it for you guys as you move forward with your season and your training that you guys have done that altitude training?
Like I said before, it's just a good base to get us ready for the season. And obviously, you know, we get that white blood cell count up when we go up there, and it really helps to transition down to low altitude, because when we came down, we had a stellar workout all together. The whole team ran great, and it shows. And beyond the athletic aspect, you know, we learn a lot about ourselves, and we learn a lot about each other. And it brings us together as a team. Like Caitlin was talking, we want to race to the finish line together, not, you know, one by one. And training camp is a very integral part of doing that. You know, 16 days where you're living in apartment style housing, where you're with, you know, six guys in your room, and, you know, the girls are downstairs, you're upstairs, and you're seeing each other all day, every day. And it makes a difference, because it can show it in the races. You know, people fight for each other a little harder. You'll see people try a lot harder in the last mile. You can see freshman Jonah Diaz at the preview meet we had a couple weeks ago ran himself into the hospital because he just didn't want to give up. He wanted to win the race so bad for the team, and he did, and then he collapsed at the finish line and then got taken off for heat stroke. So, I mean, just the whole aspect of training and being together and going to Mammoth, and, you know, getting to see where all the high-class athletes like Meb Kafletsky and Dina Castor, and where they train and what they do, and getting to talk with former coach Bob Larson, who was a track coach here in the field in the 80s, and just all of that adds up together to make our training, and, you know, it comes in from every different aspect to make it a whole piece.
Yeah, Meb Kafletsky had a great performance in the marathon in London at the Olympics at the age of 37, and I know he's been an advocate of the high-altitude training. Did you get a chance to talk to him and share some of his Bruin stories?
We usually see him a couple times when he comes. We give him a little dinner, and he comes and tells us all his amazing stories. He told us his whole entire story of London, the London Marathon, which is remarkable, and he brings by his kids, and it's awesome because we also see him where we run while we're running, and, like, it's inspirational, and, you know, he just, the drive that he has, and it's just very awesome.
Caitlin, how does somebody decide that they're going to be a long-distance runner? I mean, I'm sure when you were younger, you played a lot of different team sports. What told you that you could have success in such a demanding, almost individual sport?
Both my parents ran for Cal, and my brother ran for Washington. And so, basically, I was on track to run. I didn't run my first race till, like, I did rinky-dink races when I was little for fun, like, my dad running next to me. But I didn't really start, like, really running till freshman year of high school, and my mom was the coach. And so, basically, I run. That's my thing. Like, I don't know.
When did it click in that you were really good?
I got good, like, in college. I was pretty much, like, the potential in high school, so I was super, super lucky to get the opportunity to run here, and, I just always wanted to.
What made the difference? How did you improve when you got to the college level?
I just made a decision that it's time to step up, and, like, I feel like I raced more, I grew as a runner mentally and physically, and, it was just time to go.
Okay, so we talk about cross country like it's an individual sport, but you guys are saying you want to cross that line as a team. You're making it a team sport, whereas most people from the outside looking in are, oh, it's just several different runners from UCLA kind of out for themselves. Tell us a little bit about that experience, and tell us how, I know there's scoring in cross country. I'm not really sure what that means, so can you please explain it to us?
The way it goes in scoring with cross country is it's lowest score wins. It's a little bit like golf. So the scoring position depends on where you finish. If you finish someone 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you add up the places to get your team score, and the team with the low score wins. So perfect score is 15. Doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And you know, usually anything under 40 is pretty good. And then we also take a look at our spread, which is the time from the first runner to the fifth runner, which is the amount of scores that you have. And then you have a 6 and 7 runner that are called pushers. So you want to push the other teams back by getting your 6 and 7 in front of them, you know, to make their score a little higher. And you know, it's always apparent in races, too. Some races have chip timing where they can tell us exactly where any team is at any point in the race. And there's also our coaches yelling, you know, okay, you need to get 2 more guys. I need you to get this guy. I need you to do something. And it's very, it's almost like a scoreboard out there. Like, we know exactly what's going on in the race, and we can tell what's happening. And usually just by feel, we can know where we're at the whole time, which is nice.
Caitlin, if somebody's lagging, can they just grab onto your hair?
No. But, it's also top 5 score. So seven people race, five people score, but yeah.
Well, do you get a sense? I mean, how long does it take you in the middle of a race to sense the strategy of the various teams? I'm sure that there's a lot of different ways to approach the race.
Typically, what our coach tells us to do before the race is to not really worry and run your race, run your own race, and not to stress about the other teammate strategy or team's strategy, because we have our own strategy. We all get to the line. We all know exactly what we're going to do, and no matter what other teams are doing, we stick to what we're doing.
The game has changed a little bit with we've talked a lot about the Pac-12 network and the increased coverage that a lot of the Olympic sports are getting, and cross country is going to be on also. I'm sure you've run in relative anonymity, but people are going to watch these races. How does the prospect, does it excite you about the fact that your sport's going to get some coverage?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. The last couple of years, the attention to cross country and track has really picked up, especially with the surge of Oregon. Oregon always has their local channels showing our races. Like, I've been on TV up there a couple times from them just showing races on local channels because they go crazy for running. But and then there's the websites like Flow Track. They really pay attention to a lot of stuff, and they're really good about posting races and results and all these different articles every week. And but with the Pac-12 network, it will be nice to finally get on, you know, local channels and like actually have a little bit of coverage there. And we've had some coverage in the past from the local channels here, and doing that with the talks with Rick Neuheisel's show. And you know, it's fun to finally have a place though that we know that we're going to have constant attention to really enlighten everyone, and that'll even help with recruiting too. It's going to be great to have that over most places, and not that we need it here at UCLA anyway, we're already up there, but it's going to definitely help, and it's going to be fun to see ourselves run on TV, especially with, you know, they're talking about putting the Pac-12 preview on and the Pac-12 championships on TV, so that'll be really great to see on TV.
I want to go back to the in-race scenarios, because I don't know about our viewers, but it's intriguing to me. Forrest Braden, your coach, is, how does he, you're saying that he's yelling at you during the race, but I don't comprehend, is he running alongside you along the side? I mean, he's in great shape, and I know that he still runs, but how does he keep up with you guys for the whole race and yell at you at the same time?
Forrest Braden, I mean, he's a household name almost. He's a 1337 5K runner. He was the first person not to make the Olympic trials because of a bad instance with another runner that snuck in front of him. So he's an amazing runner. He's been around the scene for the last about 10, 12 years, and he's also our coach, which is weird because he can keep up with us almost any day he wants.
I was going to say, maybe he could even beat some of you guys.
His 5K PR is better than anyone's,
yeah,
actually. But yeah, he just runs around the course. You know, we'll find him at different places every time. He usually tries to get to every mile mark and let us know what's happening in the race, and he's pretty good at it. I mean, it's almost like a workout in itself for him, but he's completely used to it. And you know, when you're running around cheering, you're just, there's so much energy. And you know, when I go to races and watch my friends, I get really excited. I'm running around, you know, at them, you're in this place, you're doing this, they're right there, go get them. And it's pretty easy to do it because you get lost in the moment, and it's really exciting to watch a race.
Well, Caitlin, how hard is it to stay in the moment enough to figure out your strategy? You spend so much time running with isolation in the normal week. You're out there, there's no fans, there's no.
Right.
But then all of a sudden there's people yelling and coaches and the increased coverage and the crowd is cheering. It's got to be hard to stay in your plan when all that's going on.
It's it is definitely hard, but I know that our teammates, like, with when we're running as a group, we're all around each other and we're in this zone that nothing can distract us, except we know. I hear Coach Braden's voice. I'm like, okay, eye contact with Coach. We're good. Like, get it all, lock it down. And then, and it's pretty much every mile, I'd say, every 800. And it's, you just, with your teammates there, you all are focused, and it's a different, it's a feeling that is different. I don't know.
David, it's your senior year here at UCLA. Look back on some of the great moments you've had in your career at UCLA.
You know, there's a lot of good ones. I've had a lot of fun the last 4 years, and you know, coming into the fifth year, I just kind of wanted to go with no regrets. There's been fun moments, but there's also been some bad moments. You know, I had a little mishap last year that ended up as a YouTube blooper and went viral for a while. But you know, a lot of great things, especially on team aspects. When we beat SC the last 2 years in track and field, and it's really exciting because 2 years ago it was the 5K that clinched the meet, and Alex Crable and I went 1-2, taking out John Carley from SC, who was supposed to be a scorer, and then we ended up knocking him out. And it was just really exciting to come around, you know, the last 400, just ripping past John Carley and right in front of their home crowd, and making them kind of sit sit down and go home because we just took the meet by 10, 15 points. And then same thing with last year, coming back with the repeat after, you know, they disrespected us a bunch of times, you know, not letting us stick around for the 4x4. And, you know, there's a lot of animosity in the 5K that comes around that, you know, ends up getting placed on us runners. A lot of people get pushed. A lot of people get shoved. I got spit on before. It's just, it's a very fun race to be in, but it's also a very calming thing.
A nice, civil, gentle sport.
Yeah, you have to really step back and realize what you're doing. But it's fun at the end when it's over and we come home with the higher score. So.
Well, both of you, thank you for coming in. I am now motivated not to actually go out and run, but I'll pick up my remote and I'll watch you when the cross-country season gets under full swing. We hope you'll watch them too, and all of the Bruin athletes. For Allison Taylor and our Res TV crew, I'd like to thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. Until then, so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.